Absolutely.
You said ministry addiction was harder to get healed of than?
10 times harder. 10 times harder.
Listen to that.
10 times harder.
Is that because of the worth value of this thing?
Yes. Off of pornography for years, sexual addiction for years, cocaine, heroin. Ministry addiction was by far the hardest one to overcome and be healed of.
Encouraging, inspiring, and equipping leaders. This is Coach and Joe.
Welcome to Coach and Joe. I'm here with Dr. Michael Thornton, recent graduate of Regent University doctoral program. I want to talk about your thesis because I believe it's going to turn into a book that's going to help a lot of Christian leaders who are addicted to ministry. I want to start off right off the bat saying, okay, I'm not here to bash anyone for any addiction. Who am I to throw a stone at anyone? But one of the things the Father's opened my eyes to that is a burden and an assignment on my life is to help rehab burned out addicted to ministry leaders, pastors.
It's incredible.
Worship leaders. Michael, how did your dissertation come to be? I mean, I wonder if anybody's ever written a dissertation on addiction to ministry.
Yeah, no, I when I sat with it in my program, it was over leadership, and I really began to pray. I honestly, I didn't know what to write, and I didn't want to spend a lot of time researching something I'm not passionate about. But I knew I had a story worth writing. That's what I knew. I knew I had a story worth writing. And if I could convince that to my chair, then I could do this. And she accepted. And that led me to go, you know what? I want to write my life story. And I have a love, hate, ongoing relationship with addiction from my whole life. It started with addiction to substances and drugs and alcohol that morphed into addiction to sex and sexual immorality. And then that landed me into addiction to ministry and a success. And I walked through all of those things. The name of the dissertation is The War for Your Worth. And basically that's what addiction is all about. The addiction is a war within us. Who is going to win the war for our worth? In essence, what are we going to allow to define who we are, our value, our worth? Is it going to be a substance? Is it going to be a person, a relationship? And that's where the whole rabbit hole of addiction begins.
Michael, what is addiction to ministry? Clinically, what is this thing? I understand alcoholism, drug addiction, pornography addiction, gambling. We were in Vegas the other day and walking through a casino. My son didn't even know what that was because our hotel, I guess out there, there's a casino in the lobby of every hotel. So he thought they were like arcade games.
Wow.
So I was explaining. I said, you know, Sammy, there's some people, they can't even walk through a casino because they'll blow all their money. And I said, you know, for whatever reason, I don't know. I don't understand that. I could be in there a month and I have no desire to play the casino. But I'm in a recovery group for food. So addiction's kind of funky a little bit. It's like, but it's all the same.
It's all the same.
But there's one thing I've never heard of a rehab. Maybe there is some, but the Garden Greenville really has become a rehab center.
Yes.
In many ways, specifically for people who are addicted to ministry. What the heck is that?
Well, I want to define that. The way I define addiction to ministry is an addiction to success. Because even addiction to ministry, even people that are listening right now may chime out, well, I'm not in ministry. That doesn't apply to me. Hold on. Addiction to ministry means addiction to success, which hits all of us, marketplace, business, leader, finance, and addiction to success. It really comes down to what is your measurement of success? How do you define success? What is your metric of success? And so for in ministry for us, let's take that for example. For me in this journey, I begin to make the calling on my life, the purpose and the plan on my life, that became the metric of my success. So I knew that God brought me out of drug rehab and recovery, redeemed me, saved me, and I had the testimony and the evidence to prove it. And then when I began to share, help people in that way, man, I saw incredible fruit. People were getting set free. But over time, what began to happen is that metric of my success, as long as people were getting saved, as long as tears were being shed, as long as testimonies were coming from my efforts, from my faithfulness, from my obedience, my yes, then that let me know I'm right with God. Then that let me know, man, I'm right in the middle of his will. And that begins to form a metric, my own definition of success. So as long as these things are happening, I am successful. But what begins to happen is you become addicted to the metric of success. You become addicted to those external things, and it begins to pull you away from just connecting and being with Abba.
I've never asked you, we've never talked about this next thing I want to say. In my quiet time with him the other day, I felt like he showed me that addiction to ministry bothers him greatly, celebrity spirit stuff.
Yes.
Obviously, there's grace for everything, but there's something about when the addiction is in the priestly. It's a no-go zone.
Yes.
Does God like drug addiction? No. But here's where I believe he has been showing me. In James, it says, be careful before you become a teacher. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
The judgment is stricter.
Stricter.
Can we stop there for a second?
That's serious.
I don't know if a lot of people, that's scary.
Very.
If you are given a position of priestly leadership by the Father, and your addiction becomes the people's praise. I believe the Father is showing me that he's coming to really continue to cleanse his leadership in priestly streams. I believe a lot of leaders are in Herod land and they don't know it.
Yes.
Let me be clear on what I'm saying. I want to hear your thoughts. The consequences of being addicted to ministry are a lot more dangerous than we think. Drugs may kill the body and fry the mind. Alcohol may ruin your life. You kill somebody driving around in a car, eat your liver. But God doesn't like it when we are leading on his behalf in a position he's ordained for us to be in, and then he's not the goal anymore, but the we're getting our identity from the people we're leading. There's some serious consequences to this.
Yes. One thought that I have is that if you look at it this way, we know that God, our Father, is a jealous God. That's what the Bible, he's jealous for us. And one of the dangers of becoming addicted to the calling on my life, becoming addicted to ministry, becoming addicted to my definition of my own success is I begin to steal the affection. I begin to steal the love, the dedication of the bride away from Father, and I put it on me, or I put it on my gifting, or I put it on my charisma. I put it on my leadership, and it begins to steal that away from people. And I believe that really, really angers God. I believe there's the jealousy of God that comes after that.
I think there's a consequence to it. And I think there's two prongs to it. There are those that know they're doing it and they can't stop. And there are those that don't know they're doing it and they can't stop. Both are still detrimental.
Yes.
And I believe that what the Father's showing me, matter of fact, I'm getting ready to go minister at Alan DiDio's gathering up in Charlotte here soon. And the Father's already told me what to minister on. I said, what do you want me to minister on? The judgment from the Father on this conversation is not over. It's still picking up steam in 2023.
Yes.
I started prophesying years ago he would begin to remove priestly leaders. When I say priestly leaders, I'm talking about if you got marketplace like King Lee and you got priestly church, there are a lot of church leaders that are eaten up with an addiction to ministry, and the Father's coming to judge that thing.
Yes. Huge.
There's an author named Dr. Stephen Carnes, Patrick Carnes, and he wrote a book that helps therapists deal with people with sexual addictions.
Yes.
There's a tactic in sexual addictions where you have an intervention and you really scare the patient. And you say, well, why would you do that? Because there's some people that have to be scared out of that thing. Abba is so kind. He's also a judge. He's given judgment to his son, Jesus. The Father's really not pleased with the state of the church when leaders are addicted to the celebrity spirit / addiction to ministry thing. It's not a small thing, is what I'm saying.
It's not. And again, I want people so to catch this because it's such an important conversation. It's when we find our worth and value in anything else but him. And what that looks like even now with social media and technology. I mean, let's just really be honest. Here's a metric of how you know, am I addicted to ministry or success? Let's say you post something. Let's say you take some time and you really post a word or a message that God gave you on your social media account, Instagram, TikTok, whatever it is, and it doesn't get the response you wanted. It doesn't have as many likes or comments that you think it should warrant, and it begins to alter your mood or behavior. It's a warning sign that, wait a minute, I have placed too much worth and value in this other than my connection time with Abba. And over time, that over time is what entraps a lot of people. I mean, we talk about this in Jude, in the class we teach, our Jude class. This is the trap of Balaam, right? In the Jude's letter, a warning to the church in the end times, he said, one of the major traps among leaders will be the trap of Balaam. Don't fall into Balaam's era. And when you break Balaam down, it's this issue. It's becoming addicted to your own gift, your own anointing, your own charisma, without even realizing it. It's a huge trap.
How does a person begin? Well, before I ask the question, here's how I saw you be healed of an illegal pressure put on by others on you that was dragging you into this trap. Is that the way to say it?
Absolutely.
Here's I think, the first step in a minister being healed of this, and it's so harsh sounding at first, to be starved of all leadership for a while.
This is, I'm getting so fired up right now, though, in a good way, because this is amazing, Chad.
It's good looking sweater, by the way.
Thank you. I feel, it makes
I'm a sweater vest guy.
I'm a doctor, by the way.
Wendy's like, can you please stop wearing sweater vests? I love them.
Look, you like them? It looks good on you. I was like, you know what? I'm a doctor now. I'm going to have a sweater vest.
You're going to be playing golf for too long.
I don't know about that. I tried. I'm terrible. I'm terrible at that. I can't remember what I was saying.
How does a person get out of starve it? How do you?
So here's what I learned. This took me a minute to figure out. When I began to be starved, God put me in an environment where I was not ministering anymore. I was not running anymore, not doing everything He had called me to do. I was in an extended Sabbath, an extended period of time of rest. And during that time, I began to go through bouts of depression. I began to go through waves. I'd be triggered. All my emotions be all over the place. It felt like mood swings for 3 or 4 days, and then would calm down. Couple months later, it hit again. And I'm thinking, what is this? The only thing that really connected me is because of my own journey out of drug addiction and chemical addiction in rehab 15 years ago. And when I came through being addicted to crack cocaine and heroin, there was a series of recovery and detox I had to undergo. And it was the exact same parallel that my body felt coming off of ministry addiction. And that's how I was able to correlate the two. So when I came off of heroin, cocaine, my body would go through bouts of depression where I'd have to battle cravings and urges and then just kind of let it die. And it's basically like a 2-year period. And I was able to frame every couple months I would go through this. And the same thing began to happen in ministry addiction. So when I caught that revelation, Chad, it let me know the way to beat this, the way to be healed from this is the same way I was healed through chemical addiction. So the 3 stages of recovery are detox, rehab, and recovery. Those are the 3 stages. And that's the same starting point for those who are addicted in ministry.
You've said, I've heard you say before, that it was, you've been healed of drug addiction and ministry addiction.
Yes.
You.
Yes.
Your mess has become your message.
Absolutely.
You said ministry addiction was harder to get healed of than?
10 times harder. 10 times harder.
Listen to that.
10 times harder.
Is that because of the worth value of this thing?
Yes. Off of pornography for years, sexual addiction for years, cocaine, heroin. Ministry addiction was by far the hardest one to overcome and be healed of because there's so much good around it. Because it's like, man, I'm doing what God called me to do. It's a positive impact on people's lives. But because you're finding your worth, your approvals, you're addicted to
and
approval.
And I'm guessing that, is it Gary Smalley's book? I'm guessing your love language is affirmation.
Yes, absolutely. Big.
Mine used to be cheese. I had to renounce that. So here's what's happening. You get people telling you how wonderful you are, which, let's be honest, it's not all evil. Mm-mm. The Father said to Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased.
Yes. Well, that's the big thing about it. There's a level of approval and acceptance that we're all born with. We all have a God-given desire to be approved and accepted. That's not wrong because the Father accepted and approved Jesus, like you said. But what happens is when those desires, we try to fill them in other places. And ministry, success, our calling, that can offer a counterfeit. It can offer another solution to find that approval, to find that acceptance.
You know what that rat bastard of the underworld specializes in? You know what he specializes in? Self-hatred.
Man. That's right.
I mean, yeah. I was at the University of Georgia, and I knocked on my next-door neighbor's door just to get to know him. There's 4 guys in there. Michael, I grew up pretty sheltered. I didn't know what they were doing. They're smoking crack cocaine.
Wow.
I thought back then, you take a dip of skull, you might go to hell. They're in there doing cocaine. You know what I've learned 25 years later? They smoking cocaine are on a search for ABBA.
Yes.
Wanting to have sex with a woman outside your marriage covenant, whether it's a fictional woman on a magazine or somebody that you're considering having an affair with, you're looking for ABBA.
Yes.
Same for a woman against her husband. addiction to work, working 90 hours a week.
Yes.
You being the man because you work 90 hours a week, you're looking for ABBA. Chesterton said every man that knocks on the door of a brothel is looking for the Father.
Yes.
Augustine said there's a vacuum shape inside of us. Mm. I'm butchering that quote, but there's a vacuum-sized hole inside of us that can only be fulfilled by one person, the Father.
The Father.
How about this? I'll close with this because it's the cure to all addiction. Mm. Jesus Christ, sinless. Our master, our big brother. Sinless Lamb of God. Mm. I'm not saying he needed to hear affirmation from his dad, but he heard it.
He heard it. And that's there for a reason. This is my son who I love and well pleased. You see acceptance, your approval. And if we remember in scripture, he does it not once, but twice. There's another time in the Bible, the father says, that's my son. I love him and I'm well pleased. There's a double layer of affirmation acceptance that the father gives the son. So if the son needed it, how much more do we need it from the father? Yeah. What we have to grow wise in is not allowing social media, our jobs, our relationships even to give that space.
Hobby Lobby CEO David Green gave away $1 billion last fiscal year.
God almighty. That's a lot of money.
I read his book recently on generosity. He's just gotten to know ABBA. Mm. And it's all ABBAs.
That's so good.
Do you know that you actually can trigger everyone around you when you carry ABBA?
Yes.
Because when you have his approval and you flip a business and make $220 million on it, when you have his approval and your book goes platinum, when you have his approval and you give the commencement speech at Regent, everyone's clapping over, that stuff doesn't have a snare. There's no snare there. It's there's no trap.
Yes.
I personally spend most of my time, and I'm going to the rest of my life, I have one internal driving mission statement for my life. I want to receive love from him and know him. I want to know what he thinks about me. I just want to know him. Yada, Hebrew, Gnosko, Greek. Mike Bickle said he's spending the rest of his life exploring God's personality.
Wow.
That is the cure to any and all addiction. I bless you that you be connected with the Father. And if you need help, if you're a minister, I want you to email me, chad.norris@thegardengreenville.com, THE. I tried to order something the other day and a man from India was on the line. You should have seen me trying to give that email. We got the longest email address in the world. My name with the dot in the middle, chad.norris@thegardengreenville.com. We'd like to help you. We're going to be setting up some gatherings here downrange just for burned out, beat up, smoked out, hurt, beat on shepherds, worship leaders. I know it's hard. I know it's rough. But if you find yourself in a place where you think you need to check into a spiritual rehab, check us out. We'll get you some help. Be blessed.
Thanks for joining us on the Coach and Joe Leadership Podcast. Don't miss the Coach and Joe Talk Show on YouTube and check out coachandjoe.com for more resources, blogs, and merch. We will see you next time.